How can you ever accomplish anything for God? Let me read these verses, Matthew 28. We know this is the Great Commission, familiar verses to you. Starting at verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. How can you ever accomplish anything for God? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for today. Thank you for your word. Thank you for this great music, the choir number, for Miss Reese, she sang so well that Jesus still is the answer. And Lord, now we pray as we look at your word that we would realize that you've not only commanded us to go into all the world, but Lord, you're willing to equip us as we allow you. Lord, help it to, as we look at the pages of your word and consider these thoughts, Lord, I pray that you be pleased with that, and Lord, we pray that these thoughts would work in our hearts and our lives, and we'd realize that we each one have the ability to accomplish something that will make a difference in eternity. We'll give you the praise for what you accomplish now, in Jesus' name, amen. We see the Great Commission. Of course, the Great Commission we find five different times in Scripture, in each of the Gospels, and then in the book of Acts. And we almost always look at the Great Commission as a huge responsibility laid on us. And it is. Mark says it most succinctly, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. The Great Commission is that, but I believe that the Great Commission encompasses, or should, I say should encompass, all of the Christian life. That everything we do should be vitally connected to the Great Commission. Going into all the world and preaching the gospel. Everything we do as a church should be connected to the Great Commission. We had a ladies' meeting on Saturday. The ladies were looking at the Word of God. Why? To equip them to better serve Him, to equip them to take the gospel to the world. We had a men's breakfast a week or so ago, last weekend, and the men were there, and we had a good time of fellowship together, and that's a good thing. That's part of the Great Commission. We had a message from God's Word talking about why does God have rules? That's part of the Great Commission. We're going to have, of course, a Good Friday luncheon and a Good Friday service. That's part of the Great Commission. Lord willing, this summer we're going to have a barbecue and yard sale. That's part of the Great Commission. We go out and we visit people. And as we go about our places, going about in our daily work, whether it be in work or shopping or wherever it might be, we should understand that I am to be carrying out the Great Commission every place I go and with every individual I meet. That does not mean that every individual you meet, that you corner them and buttonhole them with a track and go down through it. Now, some we need to. But every person we meet, we should make a positive impact on them for Christ, that they might be more receptive. Maybe it might not even be us who have the opportunity down the road to speak to them about the gospel, but we make a positive impact on them so that they might someday listen to someone else who says, I'm a Christian, can I tell you how to become a Christian? But how do we do it? How do we have the ability? What an awesome responsibility. You know, God does not give us responsibility without ability. God does not give us responsibility without ability. Sometimes we as human beings will give someone a responsibility, and it's almost like we like to watch them struggle because we don't believe they can ever accomplish the task we gave them. I told you before about my son Jason. He was just a little fellow, maybe 6 years old, and I bought a 50-pound bag of potatoes. And they were in the back of the car. I told him, go out and get the potatoes. He thought that was pretty good. His mother always bought these little wimpy 10-pound bag of potatoes. And he got there and looked in the car, and I can still see, we had a little Ford Maverick. You remember those? An ugly yellowish-orange color. He opened the door, back door to that Maverick, and he looked, and those of you who know Jason, you can see him. And he crawled in the back seat. I thought he would come as dad. I can't. I was watching him from the window. I didn't think he'd do it. But then I saw the bag of potatoes roll out of the car onto the ground. And he started rolling end over end up the sidewalk to the house. So I went out and rescued him before we had mashed potatoes before they got to the house. I shouldn't have done that. I know. But it was funny. But folks, understand, God does not do that to us. How can you accomplish anything for God? Let me go through. I got 5 points. First of all, you have authority through Jesus Christ. Christ, in Matthew 28:18, he says, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Now, the word power there is a little bit different word. It speaks more of like political power than dynamite power. We'll get to that later on. It's a Greek word, exousia, means a power authority. We talk about political authority, government authority, authority in business. Christ said, I have all authority in heaven and on earth. A while ago, we looked at a little bit of this in the book of Matthew, that Jesus Christ was not only had authority because he was divine, but he earned his authority. He had a hereditary authority by the lineage we see in Matthew and Luke. He had royal authority because he descended from David. He had divine authority that his baptism. The Father said, this is my beloved Son, whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. He has moral authority. He overcame temptation in the worst possible situation anyone can ever be. Scripture says he was in all points tempted like as we are, and yet without sin. He had authority over nature, authority over sin, even authority over death. In John chapter 10 and verse 17, he says, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power, same word there, authority, to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received from my Father. Authority. Christ said, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore. Now, how does that help us that Jesus Christ has all power in heaven and earth? He delegated. That's what the go ye therefore. He said, I'm delegating you to go in my behalf into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I have authority by the word of God through Jesus Christ. You know, think about this. A military base. Got a young corporal standing guard at the gate to that military base. He's a corporal. He's been given orders. He's been given authority by his platoon leader. That platoon leader has been given authority by his captain. That captain's been given authority by the base commander. And that base commander has been given authority by the chief of defense staff. And that young soldier can stand there and refuse a general entry to that military base because he has authority directly from the chief of defense staff through the chain of command. Understand that we as Christians have authority directly from Jesus Christ to take the gospel to the world. We have authority to go and to be able to. Do you know? You're not going to believe this. I'm shy. You laugh. Meeting people the first time is difficult for me because I want them to like me. I don't know how they're going to respond. But understand that the other day when I went to the hospital to see Brian in the hospital, I did not know Brian, I did not know Debbie. But I went and I buzzed the buzzer to get into the intensive care unit, and I walked in. And I walked in, why? Because I had my little name tag then? No. I could walk in there under the authority of Jesus Christ. I talked a little, hadn't met them before. I had a wonderful conversation with them. And I guess with Debbie I did. Brian can just mouth words, had to try to lip read, and I wasn't too good, so she'd have to translate for me. But I had the authority of Jesus Christ to go and to take a gospel tract and give them gospel tracts and ask Brian, are you sure you're ready for heaven? You need to make sure of that. You see, you have that same authority. Not because of who you are, not because of your station in life, not because of the job you hold, but because Jesus Christ said, I have all power in heaven and in earth. And you can go. We, none of us have an excuse. We all have the authority of Jesus Christ to take the gospel to the world. We have the authority of Jesus Christ. We'll talk about some other things a little bit later on. We have the authority of Jesus Christ to be a blessing to others. We can accomplish something for God because Jesus Christ has given us His authority. The second reason we can accomplish something for Christ is because He's working with us. The end of verse 20 in Matthew 28, it says, Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. A promise. Jesus Christ said, I'm giving the authority, and not only am I giving you the authority to go, I'm going to be right there with you. Now, not His physical presence, certainly. But Jesus Christ said, I am going to be with you even unto the end of the world. In Mark chapter 16, again, we find the Great Commission there. In Mark chapter 16 and verse 20. So after the Lord had spoken unto them and received, He was received up into heaven and set on the right hand of God. And they, the apostles, went forth and preached everywhere. Notice those next words. The Lord working with them. The Lord working. Jesus said, Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And we have the testimony of Mark that the Lord was working with the apostles. You know, I like to work with someone that I can have confidence in. I like to work with somebody that knows what they're doing. I like to work with somebody that I can learn something from. Rather than be working in a situation where we're studying and teaching or working, doing physical work. The Lord working with them. You ever had a time when you looked at the Bible and you saw a verse and it was like you'd never seen it before in your life? I've read through the Bible I don't know how many times. Taught most of it in college classes. But a number of years ago, we brought our first group of young people out to Newfoundland to do vacation Bible schools. We all jumped in a van, traveled out here. We were staying at Rocky Brook Cabins north of Deer Lake. And I was getting ready for devotions in the morning. I was looking at this, and it was like I'd never seen this verse before. So I shared with the young people in devotions that morning. I said, young people, I want you to understand that you're working with me. I understand that. But the Lord is working. We're doing God's business. The Lord is working with us. As we go out and about, understand that we meet a new individual. The Lord is there working with you. The Lord is there encouraging you to say the right words you should say to that individual. But not only have to say the right words, but have the right attitude as you say. You know, we can say the right words with the wrong attitude. You understand that? To say that, have the right attitude. The Lord is working with us. And the Lord is not only working in our life, but the Lord is working in the life of that individual that we're talking to. Whether it be a casual acquaintance that we meet quickly and and we go on our way and never see that individual again, or someone that we're working on building a long-term relationship with, the Lord is working with. So you can accomplish something for the Lord because He's working with you. Do you ever have somebody working at cross purposes with you? That you tried to do something and they would come and they would tear it up? That's not what's happening. The Lord said, I am working with you. I am giving you the authority to take the gospel to the world. And I am working with you to take the gospel to the world to fulfill the Great Commission. Go to Luke chapter 24, please. Again, we see another part of the Great Commission here. Luke 24 and verse 46. And he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, to raise it from the third day, and that repentance and remission should be preached in his name among all nations, begin at Jerusalem. An awesome responsibility. But verse 48 says, and ye are witnesses of these things. You're witnesses. Why can you accomplish? How can you accomplish something for God? Because you're a witness to what God has already done. These apostles, as he was speaking to them, were witnesses to the life of Christ. They had walked with him for about 3 or 3.5 years. They had listened to his teaching. They'd been instructed. They saw as he dealt with individuals. They saw as he talked to groups. They saw as he raised the dead, made the blind to see and the lame to walk. They were there when he stilled the sea. They were there when he fed the multitude. He says, you are witnesses of these. You have seen it with your eyes. You know, folks, this isn't textbook stuff. It's the stuff of life. You have a Bible as a witness to what Christ has done in the Gospels. The Holy Spirit is witness in your life of what He has done in your life. He has saved you. He's taken you off the road to hell and set you on the road to heaven, giving you a new life in Christ. You know that He's working in your heart. He's changing you. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You have seen the Holy Spirit in the life of others. You've seen others as God's worked in their heart. You've seen individuals that have come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. You've seen their life change. You've seen hopeless situations given hope. You're witness to these things. But sometimes we think, yes, we are. But can it happen again? Jesus said, you've seen it happen before. You've seen it in scriptures. You've seen it in your life. You've seen it in the lives of others. And I want to do that again over and over and over again. And I want to use you as a witness. We can do something for God because we're a witness to what He's done. We can do something for God forth because of the example and work of Christ. We go to the Great Commission in the book of John. Verse 19, John 20, verse 19. The same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, peace be unto you. When he had so said, he showed them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus unto them, peace be unto you. Notice these next words. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. We often focus on the so send I you. The thing I want you to understand this morning is we can do something for God because we have the example of Jesus Christ. He says, as my Father hath sent me. How did the Father send the Son? He tells a couple of verses that we could go through and spend, I don't know how long on this. Luke 19 and verse 10 says, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. The Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. To seek out those that need to be saved. To seek out those and tell them the gospel. Jesus was a servant. Mark 10:45, for even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. a servant. We often think a servant is not a very high position. I think being a servant is demeaning. But Jesus said he came to be a servant, to minister, to be a servant. We can accomplish more by serving others than we can dictating to others. Understand that? Jesus left people better than he found them. Acts 10:38 says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power and went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Went about doing good. Leaving people better than we find them. Let me challenge you, when you check out at a grocery store or a store, ask people, how are you doing today? And then look in their eyes. Because often they'll say, fine, because that's what we expect them to say. But their eyes will tell you something different. You know, it doesn't hurt in a checkout line to say, well, is there something I can pray for you about? Not right now, but I will when I get to the car. Say, here, let me give you some hope. Give them a hope card. We give you some hope, and there's a church, you know, a number and stuff, and you know, if you need something, you know, get in touch with us. Jesus left people better than he found them. Jesus said, as the Father hath sent me, even so send I you. Jesus said that we are sent to seek and to save that which is lost. Yes. But we're sent to be a servant as well, to serve others. We're sent to leave people better than we find them. We have the example of Christ. And go to Acts chapter 1, please. Acts chapter 1, starting in verse 6. When they therefore were come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it's not for you to know the time or the seasons which my Father hath put in his own power. Now that word there is the same word, the authority God has. But ye shall receive power, use a different word here, after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria, and on the uttermost part of the earth. You shall receive the Holy Ghost. You shall have power. Power through the Holy Ghost. Now the word there, power, is an interesting word. It's the Greek word dunamis. We get our word dynamite from that. But Jesus is not talking about you're going to have the power to blow things up. Blowing things up can be fun. Back in the 60s, I had two uncles that liked to blow things up. Back then, you could go to the hardware store, sign a paper, and you'd get a box of dynamite. Blasting caps and primer cord from the hardware store. One uncle tells of blowing a stump up, big long story. Another uncle, there was a story about a third of a stick of dynamite and a septic tank. I won't go any further this morning. But needless to say, every time they used dynamite, it left a mess. I remember one uncle was blowing out the old concrete feeder bunks in the bottom of a barn. And there were all kinds of kids running around. We were having a great time, and they would make sure all the kids were out, and the dynamite would go off, and be a big blast, and smoke and roll off. And we'd go in, and nothing was back neatly in order. Rubble was blown all over the place. It was a mess. This word dunamis does not mean you have the power to blow things up. But it rather means ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is upon you. You will have the ability to accomplish something. It's like horsepower. Your car sitting out there has an engine with so much horsepower in that engine that it can accomplish the task that the engineers have deemed necessary to move that car down the road. You see, God says that He will give us, as we rely on the Holy Spirit, the ability to accomplish something for God. We do not have that ability in ourselves. It's not innate ability. I know sometimes I've tried to do something for God on my own, in my own way, meddled in somebody's life, thought I had all the answers, and I made a mess of it. But if we humbly rely on the Holy Spirit, seek His wisdom, seek His direction, yield ourselves to Him, He will give us the ability to accomplish something that will last for eternity. How can you accomplish something for God? God's given you what you need. The tools, if you will, are there in the toolbox. You just have to take them out. We just have to avail ourselves of what God has given us. See, God does not ask us to do, like I asked Jason when he was a little boy, to do something I did not think he could accomplish. But God not only asks us to do something, to take the Great Commission, take the gospel to the world, to take the gospel to our community, take the gospel to our family, to be the kind of witnesses, the kind of servant, the kind of testimony we should be in this world. He not only tells us we should be doing that, but He gives us the ability to do it. You have the authority through Christ. Just like that young man standing at the gate of a military installation. You have divine authority. Jesus is working with you. Did you ever stop and wonder sometime you were in a situation that seemed desperate? And you were trying to help somebody else, and words came out of your mouth and you have no idea where they came from? And you were there and you think, how in the world was I able to be a help? I was devastated myself. How could I be a help in that time? The Lord was working with you. You're witnesses. You've seen what God's done. You've seen what God has done in your life, in the life of others, in this church. You have the example of the life of Christ. Christ didn't live His life and record the actions of that He did, the events of His life in the Bible, just so He had some fun Bible stories to read. He said, be a servant. Minister unto people. Take the gospel to people. Leave people better than you find them. We have the example of Christ. You have the ability to accomplish His work. You see, we can do something that will last into eternity. But the question is, do we want to? God has given us the command to do it. And I said, it's not just going to Africa and preaching God. That's a small, narrow wedge of the Great Commission. The most the Great Commission we will ever do is accomplished within 10 kilometers of our home. Not in Africa or Southern Asia. With the people we meet on a daily basis. God says, you can do it. It's not what Pastor Holman says. God does not ask you what you cannot do, and God equips you to do what He asks you to do. Are you going to be a blessing to others? We're a blessing to others when we allow ourselves to take those tools out of that toolbox and use them for His honor and His glory. Just bow your heads and close your eyes, please. Their heads bowed and eyes closed. No one looking around. I wonder, have you ever thought I can't do it? Maybe it's an individual that you know